show them some love.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, meet us again in the text. Tailor the truth that we're teaching so that every hearer's heart may understand and receive what you have to say. God, we pray that you would be glorified and the people of God edified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Our text is coming from Leviticus chapter 9, verse 6 this morning. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 6. And this is a word concerning service that honors God. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." The scripture we have before us today is about the services of Israel's priests at the tabernacle. And it gives us some important principles about serving God. And when we look at the text and understand what it says, how important it is for us to know that God himself has lifted up a standard that, if honored, will bring his glory into our presence. When you look at verses 1 and the following verses, Moses calls Aaron and his sons and the leaders of Israel together, and he gives them instructions and he gives them directions. And as you walk through those four verses, you will see that after they got those instructions and directions, in verse 5 they committed to doing so. And in verse 6 we have here the words that Moses spoke. And Moses said, "This is the thing." Somebody say, "This is the thing." What is the thing? The thing is what he just got through saying.
All right.
Now, it seems so simple and elementary, but some of us miss it. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And so sometimes the simplicity of what God says seems somehow not to be enough sometimes for us to think that God could get any glory out of that. But when we understand God knows best, and he wants to see when he gives us a command if we've got sense enough to follow his commands as he has spoken them, along with that then comes the blessings of his glory, his appearance. And so there are two things I want us to look at in short today. And the first is the command for service. The command for service. For here's what he says. This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. Now, some 16 times the commands of God are mentioned in chapters 8 and 9. Twice it is the commands of Moses, but Moses' commands come from God. Service for God is doing the commands of God. Let me say that again. Service for God is doing the commands of God. Service for God is doing the commands of God. Service for God is doing the commands of God. You can't do service for the Lord and don't follow his commands. It's ludicrous to think that you are serving God and you're not following his commandments. No servant is worth his servanthood if he does not serve the one who called him to serve. Follow the dictates of the one who has given the command. Listen, if you're going to honor the one you serve, then it means obeying the command that he gives. Serving the Lord means honoring, obeying, doing what he has commanded. One of the things that I think is important is that the commandments of God are always at least three things. Jot these down if you're writing because you want to know this. The first thing that the command of God is always, one, authoritative. Authoritative. What is authoritative? Authoritative is sanctioned by established authority. Authoritative. God is authoritative in his commands. He is established authority. Matter of fact, that was nothing that was, that is, that was without God. He was before everything that was, is, and will be. Listen, he was already here before here was here. That there is no greater established person, power, or potentate than God. So here it is. If you want to hear an authoritative word, when God speaks, he speaks authoritative. It is a sanctioned, established authority. He is the voice. He is the word. He is the first and the last authority on everything. So the commands of God are always first authoritative. But not only are they authoritative, but next they are arbitrary. What does that mean? Listen, it means based on or subject to individual discretion or preference. Arbitrary means something that is conceived, or rather based on or subject to individual discretion or preference. It is something that God himself makes up his mind he wants to do and doesn't have to check with nobody. Y'all didn't get that. That's why when God wants to bless you and somebody don't want to see you blessed, he doesn't take their recommendations for it. Do you know the people who wished you were not here today? And I don't just mean in the Greater King David Church. I mean you were not here nowhere on planet Earth. Folk who hate your guts, can't stand you, and you hadn't even done them nothing. Y'all getting quiet on me this morning. Maybe I'm talking about you. But do you understand? Because what he does is arbitrary. He doesn't have to get a recommendation, nor does he have to get permission from. It is according to what he desires to do and his preference. That's why when a man ways pleases the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Somebody ought to shout amen. So his commands are arbitrary. But the last thing I want to say about his commands that always exist is his commands are always absolute. Always absolute. Here's absolute. Something that is conceived or that exists independently and not in relation to other things. Something that does not depend on anything else and is beyond human control. Listen, something that is not relative, no mortal being can influence the absolute. No mortal being can influence the absolute. Listen, when God's got something on his mind, can't nobody change it. When he puts an absolute principle, when he puts an absolute law into play, can't no human authority influence or cause God to fluctuate from what God wants to do. It is absolute. The only changing that could ever hope to be changed is if God himself changes it. Absolute. So when you begin to understand the commands of God and understand that they are absolute, ain't no sense in arguing with God. He's not going to change his mind. You blessed and become obedient to it, or you're cursed because you're disobedient to it. The only outcome is how you handle it. Because his commands are authoritative, they are arbitrary, and they are absolute. And therefore, because God himself has declared it, he is going to perform it. Those who line up with his word reaps the benefit of his words. Those who go against his word find themselves fighting God. So when you begin to look at the fact that the commands for service come as a specific term from God, God says, here's what you want, I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it. Now you can't say to God, well, God, I was thinking. I think there's a better way I can do this. Well, God has been here longer than you could ever hope to be here. He knows everything there is to know about something. Can I just give you a helpful holy hint or serious sacred suggestion? Just do it. Save your breath, save your time. And just do it the way God said. Because in the end, that's all that really matters. You see, God is too wise of a God to leave what he has to do in our lives up to us. We might wake up one morning and we feel good. Wake up another morning and we say, no, I don't feel like this. Excuse me. How many times have you not been feeling something that God told you to do? And you did it, and you felt better after. Am I talking to anybody in the house? I mean, the devil gives you all kind of challenges, man, before you even get out to bed. Good. Matter of fact, he's trying to keep you in the bed with a tummy ache, a headache, this ache, that ache, everywhere ache, ache. And he tries to convince you from even getting out of the bed. But you get on about the bed. And you take one step and then another step and so forth. Listen, and when you become challenged, here's what I've learned. Because God is amazing in how he operates according to his word. And sometimes you have got to press your way. Sometimes you've got to push against the resistance that's pushing against you. Sometimes you've got to make up your mind. It's a mind thing. Listen, sometimes you got to talk to your body parts. Come on now, body. Come on now. Legs, you're going to have to get together. I'm going to have to get some blood flow going down here because you're going to have to walk me across the room. I got to brush my teeth, wash my face. I got to get in the shower, and you got to stand up. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Leg talking about, well, let's just lay down and pray. You know, you ain't got to get on your knees. You know, your knees ain't feeling good. I mean, all in all, you got to talk to yourself sometimes. Now, we going to line up. And listen. I used to be able to jump up in within 10, 15, 20 minutes. Be able to throw some water up, run up underneath it, then jump in my clothes and jump in my car. Hey. But now I got to do like I heard some old folks say long years ago. I didn't believe them, but I do know now. I understand. Now I got to get up extra early. Because I got to sit down on the end of the bed and just... And then I got to get on up slowly and walk across the room and go on and do everything I got to do and rest a while. And do a little bit more and rest a while. Yeah. But it's all in pushing and pressing to get to and through what God has assigned me to do. And many times when I don't feel like it, I'm so tired by the time I get dressed. I'm ready to get back in the bay. But it's amazing when I stand in this place and declare what God has called me to declare and do what God's called me to do. He strengthens every part of my being to do what I've been assigned to do. Am I going to get some help in the house this morning? So listen, brothers, listen, sisters, listen. It's important to understand that God knows best.
That's right.
Do it His way. And God is pleased, but you prosper. Let's move on a little further, because not only is there the command for service, but I want you to see the consequences of service. Because if there ever is a command for service, there's always going to be a consequence for service. In other words, you're going to either be blessed or you're going to be cursed. There's no in between there. What is the consequence of your service? The consequences depend on how you do a certain thing. Listen to what the word says. The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. The result of the priest serving according to God's command was the appearance of the glory of God. That simple. They obeyed the commands of God. And you read this, that everything from the sixth verse on was executed as instructed. And in verse 23 and 24, a celebration broke out.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you can't celebrate till you obey the commands. You don't have to worry about God meeting you here or anywhere else until you have honored Him by obeying the commands. The priests had to get it together, and I want you to see this right quickly, because it's important for us to understand as leaders of the Word of God. When Moses called Aaron and his sons and the leaders of Israel together, he wanted to get something straight first, that they understood they had to get their houses in order first. Let me just read back again, if you don't mind. Verse 1, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering,
and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and a bullock and a ram for a peace offering, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Verse 6 says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Verse 7, and Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for who?
Thyself
and for the people. And offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Listen, leaders, God expects us to lead.
Amen.
Do it first.
Amen.
Set the example.
Yes, sir.
Stand out front.
Yes, sir.
Before he could make a sin offering for the people,
yes,
he had to make a sin offering for himself. Here's what I love about it. It makes it clear that God knows, but he wants the people to know that the people he used ain't perfect. But they're connected to the perfect one. So because they're connected to the perfect one, when they miss it, when they sin, when they fall short, when they do wrong, when they are not all that they ought to be, they've got to get the sin issue straight first, before they can minister to anybody else. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. But all of us, listen, are children of the Most High God, who are saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the power of sin, but still in the presence of sin. Though the devil can't make us do anything, we're still made of dust and divinity. And every now and then, another one bites the dust. Y'all sitting here like, y'all don't do that no more. Y'all don't sin no more. Y'all don't make no mistakes. Y'all don't tell no lies, even little bitty white lies. Y'all don't do none of that. Y'all are perfect. Praise God for you. I'm trying to get where you are. But here's the message to me. Get yourself together before you try to get the people together. And to every leader who leads any group of people, know that God requires you to get you together first before you try to lead whomever God has placed you to be the leader of. And look at how he follows suit, does the sin offering for himself and connected with him as his family, and then for the people. And everything all the way down through the text, we discover they follow the instructions to the letter. But here's what I want you to see in verse 22. It says, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. Verse 23 says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. All the people. Why? Because the leaders did what they were supposed to do. The leaders got themselves together, and as they got themselves together, they were then
made ready to be before the people of God. And when the people of God knew that the leaders were ready, then they followed suit with every command that Moses had given to them. And thus, when they did what they were supposed to do, listen again now at who did the blessing. I don't want you to miss this. Go back into the text again. And verse 22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and what?
Blessed them.
See what you're missing is, my brothers and sisters, if you are under the wrong leader, it's difficult to get the blessing that God has intended for you. The leader has to be blessed in order to pass the blessing on. To transfer what God has given to the leader must put the leader in a position where he is a conduit, she is a conduit through which that blessing can flow. And so when Aaron is blessed, he now lifts up his hand before the people and he blesses the people. But notice again in verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. Now look at this. Now Aaron was a servant of Moses. Now he gave a partial blessing and he blessed the people. But now when he and Moses went in the tabernacle together and came out, the blessing wasn't complete until he put his hands up with Aaron's hands up. And the people were truly and totally blessed together by the beginning of leadership all the way down through the fellowship of leadership in those who were appointed to lead. And then look at what happened. And then the Lord appeared unto all the people. Listen, if God is real and you've got connection with God, if I can see him, feel him, sense him, if he shows up where I am and you are where I am, if I see him, something's wrong and you can't. When he shows up in the house, everybody in the house ought to see him, sense him, feel his presence, know that he has appeared. Verse 24 says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. It simply meant that God saw, received everything they dedicated unto him. And listen to what they knew. That what they had gotten by way of the pronouncement of the blessings was on the way to the fulfillment of the blessings. Because the end result was, if God didn't show up, listen, and burn, consume the offerings made to him, then the promises were made null and void. And when they saw God receiving